evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I am John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, March 13, 2019. Some hotels in Juba are demanding that the government pays bills dating back to 2013.
We have SPLIO, we have SOA. We also have the national security from the government who are here to protect us. They are also part of the delegation who are here to implement the security arrangement. Services have been cut off from all of us. Like food, we are not receiving food in Juba Grand Hotel, even water.
And we'll talk in the studio here with the SPLM Deputy Chairman, Mr. Henry Oduor, about the challenges facing the revitalized peace agreement. Oduor, welcome to this show.
Thank you very much, John, for hosting me.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The Joint Defense Board officials say they will form a 700-strong force for top government officials in the transitional government of national unity. A government military spokesman says Juba will contribute 350 forces and the opposition will contribute the same number. Wake Simon Wudu reports for VOA from Juba.
Officials say the move by the Joint Defense Board, which is tasked with implementing military and security arrangements, demonstrates South Sudan is moving forward with implementing the revitalized peace deal. South Sudan Army spokesman Major General Lulu Roy Kwang says the joint force will protect the presidency, which includes the five vice presidents, ministers, and officials at state levels. Kwang says training the 700 joint force will get underway soon and is expected to be completed before a transitional government is formed.
In reality, it could be more than 5, 10, but of course, training 5,000 at a go, 10,000 at a go, is not practically possible, and that's why we have started. We have proposed this number so that they are trained, and then we prioritize our security needs. First priority, VIP protection, which is the presidency, and then the rest will follow with the joint forces.
Kwang says plans to pre-position supplies like food, health facilities, and logistical requirements is underway. He says the training will be held in Juba by tutors from the South Sudan People's Defense Force, not Ugandan or Sudanese forces, as stipulated in the peace deal. But nowhere in the agreement does it mention creating a 700 joint force to protect VIPs. Implementing the security arrangements is far behind schedules as the 8-month pre-transitional period expires in 2 months. Kwang says that is a problem.
Nobody has come forward from the international community to fund transitional security arrangements. And that's the reason why we are behind schedule in terms of meeting all the benchmarks, the processes of reporting to cantonment sites and assembly areas, doing screening, registration, selection, then unified training, and then mixing of the joint trained forces and deploying them.
SPLIO Deputy Military Spokesman Colonel Lampaul Gabriel agrees, but says certain individuals are happy with the way things are.
We have the political will to make sure we implement the security arrangement. But of course, we know there are some people, some individuals who are benefiting from this war, who are really enjoying the position they are in. And these are the people who are dragging us really behind.
Kwang warns unless more money is raised soon, the peace partners will not form the new government on time.
If something unique does not happen in the next 2 to 3 months, and we find ourselves not in position to raise a proper, a good size joint protection force, then I'm afraid that it might result in the delay in formation of a transitional government of national unity.
Kwang says if the peace partners fail to form a transitional government of national unity by May, the Joint Defense Board will advise the political leaders on the next possible course of action. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
Dozens of government and opposition officials appointed to committees implementing the revitalized peace deal have been locked out of hotels due to unpaid bills. Hotel managers are demanding the government pay millions of dollars in arrears for accommodating government officials and delegations since 2013. Dimo Silva Aurelio has this report for VOA from Juba.
Dozens of government officials and representatives of the SPLAIO and the South Sudan Opposition Alliance were briefly locked out of their hotel rooms on Tuesday because their bills were not paid. Colonel Lampol Gabriel, who represents the SPLAIO on the Joint Defence Board, says the National Pre-Transitional Committee has failed to pay bills in for Juba hotels. Gabriel, who has been staying at the Juba Grand Hotel for nearly 2 months, says the hotel management cut off most services for the National Pre-Transitional Committee about a week ago.
Today is the 6 days. I can confirm to you that there are some services that have been cut off from the delegations. When I call the delegations, I don't only restrict ourselves to the SPLAIO. We have SPLAIO, we have SOA. We also have the national security from the government who are here to protect us. They are also part of the delegation who are here to implement the security arrangement. Services have been cut off from all of us, like food. We are not receiving food in Juba Grand Hotel, even water.
Gabriel says officials were locked out of their rooms for more than an hour yesterday.
They just came and locked the doors and said, you guys get out. But NPT was called, and they came and talked to the hotel managers. We don't know what is done after that, but at the end, the doors are open for us to come back.
Gabriel says the Juba Grand Hotel has been accommodating at least 60 members of the Joint Defence Board. At a senior government and opposition officials are staying at the Dembes Hotel, supposedly at the government's expense. South Sudan in Focus contacted managers at Dembes and Juba Grand Hotels, both of which confirmed the government owes the millions of dollars in unpaid bills that have been ragging up since 2013. The managers declined to comment further, citing regulations that require them to protect their clients' privacy. Other hotels waiting for payment include the Palm Africa, the Landmark Hotel, and the Crown, where officials of various peace deal committees have been staying for several months. Gabriel describes the incident as unfortunate and embarrassing, but insists his group is committed to implementing the peace deal at all costs.
We are not going back to war. No matter who wants us to go back to war, it's not going to happen. So those individuals who think that this peace is not going to be implemented, they should really think twice, because we are here for real.
One hotel employee who spoke on condition of anonymity for fear of government reprisal says the hotel is not making any money while they are accommodating government officials and delegations.
2013, 14, 15, they didn't pay. That bill is there with the Ministry of Finance, and they are again bringing people and accommodating them. We give them food, water, everything, and then our suppliers cut the supply. We don't have money to pay them. Food supply, water supply, everything they cut. Now they are like telling us we are going to take you to court, the suppliers, because you refuse to pay our bill.
Information Minister Michael Makwee, a member of the Transitional Committee, says he has no idea about what transpired over the last 3 weeks since he was busy escorting President Salva Kiir on his tour of the Bahr al-Ghazal region. But he says the NPTC plans to rent houses to accommodate officials in the future. South Sudan in Focus attempted to reach several other NPTC officials, many of whom have traveled to Egypt in attempts to obtain additional funds for implementing the peace deal. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
The implementation of the September peace deal is facing serious challenges. The deputy chairman of the SPLMIO, Henry Oduor, was meeting South Sudanese in diaspora over the weekend here in the United States, and he told them, quote, things are not going on well in Juba. Mr. Oduor is with me in Studio 14. Welcome, Honorable Henry Oduor.
Thank you. Thank you, John Tanza.
As you've been hearing from the pieces we're getting from Juba, I mean, there's some issues there. What is going on there? You are part of the implementation team in Juba. What's going on?
You know, basically, all, you know, can be attributed to lack of funds. When the agreement was signed, immediately the NPTC, that is the National Pre-Transitional Committee, was constituted. But since then, you know, the first promise from the president was that he was going to put in $1 million for immediate activities And then he also promised 100 million South Sudanese pounds. From that, we only realized the 100 million South Sudanese pounds. And you translate to that to 400,000 US dollars. And it was not able to meet some of the requirements for the proper implementation of the peace agreement. So we are facing definitely financial challenges.
And during the pre-transitional period, the parties agreed, and I must say this is what was signed. You agreed to train, redeploy a unified force within 8 months. Now we are hearing of a 700-strong special force for protections of VIP. Why are you not meeting the requirements that you signed?
Well, all along after the pending the signatures to the agreement, it took a long time, first of all, for the JDB, that is the Joint Defense Board, to come up with exactly what the numbers are required, you know, the cantonments, you know, the requirements for cantonments, requirements for training of the unified forces. And it was only until late January when it was agreed that, okay, we have the necessary requirements in terms of how many comes from each of the parties, you know, the armies of the parties in the involved in the signatories to the agreement. So we also prepared the plans and the associated budget, which was presented to the Council of Ministers in early February. And since then, the president said that, okay, initially he would put in $10 million to make sure that, you know, we go for cantonments and then more money would come as time goes by. But up to date, not a single dollar has been put in the NPTC account.
And I would hold you to that because you agreed that you will canton your forces within 30 days of signing the agreement. The agreement was signed in September. You have answered that it's taking a long time to canton the forces because there is no money. Were you forced to sign this agreement?
Well, you know, we were not forced to sign the agreement, but it wasn't the best agreement, you know, for all of us. But we had to sign it for the sake of bringing peace to South Sudan. And we all knew that, you know, there were indications the international community was not going to, you know, help in the security arrangements. And so we all banked that, you know, the money will come from our oil. And we produce oil, over 120,000 barrels per day. And we're just finding it very difficult for the government to say that they don't have money.
So there is oil and the oil fields are operating. Are you telling me you don't know where the oil money is going?
Not even the National Legislative Assembly knows about oil money.
Why? They're supposed to be the people who are overseeing the executive. Why are they kept in dark?
This is exactly why we need reforms in this government. Because, you know, as you know, I've been a member of parliament since 2005. And I have been one of those spearheading in terms of what is best for South Sudan, the reforms we need. And one of them is accountability in a financial, you know, area. And this is something that up to now, the government has not been very good at coming with accountability. I know Stephen Wandu has been very, very good in terms of auditing. His audit reports are not made available by the government.
And let's talk a little bit more about the difficulties facing the peace partners, because when I'm talking about peace partners, I'm not only looking at your group, the IO. Let's talk about the difficulties. This situation in South Sudan where you listen to your spokesman, he was saying that they don't have water, they don't have food, they are denied those basic services. I mean, this is a little bit serious. And from here, you're going back to Juba, you're going to go into that situation. Do you have the will to move on implementing this peace agreement?
Yes, we have the will. I think most of the opposition have the will. But now without the will from the government side, and The last agreement we signed in 2015 was basically something that, you know, it was a good agreement, and but it lacked the guarantors. This time around, the neighboring countries, especially Uganda and Sudan, say that they would guarantee this agreement. So now that we are pointing fingers at the government not coming up with the funds, so we would like Uganda, Sudan, the neighboring IGAD countries, to basically bring pressure to bear on Salva Kiir so that he can bring the money for implementing this peace. Because without money, this peace is likely to go nowhere.
Well, let's hold your thoughts on that. That's SPLM-IO Deputy Chairman Henry Oduor joining me in the studio discussing the issues affecting the implementation of the peace deal. We will come back to you. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we are dedicating today's show talking to Mr. Henry Oduor, the Deputy Chairman of the SPLM-IO, to educate our listeners about the activities of the National Pre-Transitional Committee. That story is coming up next.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
do you have a quick temper? Explain.
Yes, I do. I do. I'm so short-tempered. Something small just pisses me off, and I feel like reacting, fighting, replying back in a bad way.
Yes, I do, but I quickly forgive. So my temper is a harmless one.
About the quick temper, it's there, but you need to find ways of how to control it, because you may react to something which is small, then you turn into something big.
I don't have quick temper. Reason is that I do understand everybody will or suggestion.
I don't have a quick temper because I'm always patient, and I look at myself before I do. I temper myself. That's why I don't have the quick temper at all.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus. If you have just joined us, I am with the Deputy Chairman of the SPLM-IO, Mr. Henry Oduor, who is also the Deputy Chairperson of the National Pre-Transitional Committee, a body tasked with overseeing and coordinating the implementation of the peace deal. Mr. Oduor, the NTPC looks very busy in Juba, and here you are saying there are problems. What do you do on day-to-day basis in Juba, on daily basis?
We plan ahead. For example, the last 3 months or so, there have been discussions on the committees that are under the NPTC, and we ask them to come up with their plans, and they report to us. We ask them to budget for it. They report to us on a daily basis, and we meet maybe twice or so a week to see the way forward. And so this keeps us very, very busy. And, but since we submitted our budget, we have been, waiting to see that, the cantonment grounds, are they prepared? What do they require? And so forth and so on. And so we have been waiting and waiting, but up to today, nothing is forthcoming. So there has to come a time when we'll decide, where do we go from here?
Yeah, and as you are here with me in Washington, the head of the National Transitional Committee is in Cairo. That's Stuart Galwak. He's in Cairo to raise awareness about this agreement. This travels involves money. I mean, you're crying, there's no money, and I can see you people are traveling.
No, travel's
important than implementing the peace agreement?
No. Mine was a private, I don't know whether you are aware, I have some medical issues that have to be checked every 3 months.
Sorry about
that.
So
that's my reason for travel. The travel of Tut Galwak and a few from the NPTC traveling to Cairo is basically to follow on a pledge by the Egyptian government. The ambassador of Egypt, pledged that they're going to help in the cantonment of cantonment's areas, and they're going to help in training in terms of material. And so this trip to Cairo was arranged by the Egyptian government, and it had nothing to do with finances from mainly, you know, the NPTC accounts.
I mean, you sit in the NPTC meetings. There are letters all over the social media from the chairman of the NPTC authorizing, asking the Secretary General of NPTC to sign contracts amounting to $100 million, and these are just for buying vehicles and sorghum. Now, the ordinary South Sudanese are wondering, are vehicles important than implementing the peace agreement, or what is going on with the NPTC? You are a member there. I hate to put you on the spot, but
yes,
you are
John,
a member there.
I know very well about these documents, and it is so unfortunate that these things happen, because that was not the first. When I went in on the 19th of December to participate in the NPTC, I came across two documents whereby the NPTC chair, together with Elia Lomuro, you know, signed on to documents requiring funding of renovations of two people, one of them not even involved in the implementation of the peace initiative. So I asked to, I said, this is going not to be good for your name, neither is it going to be good for South Sudan, because people look at it that we are squandering money that would have been put in good use. It was cancelled, but a week later, I found that the money was cashed. I was very, very displeased. I raised it to the president. The president said that he did not know and he was going to investigate. Then on the 7th of this month, I came across these documents about El Cardinal. El Cardinal again. We had El Cardinal scandal. And I
the
just
Dura
wonder,
Saga, the famous Dura
Saga. The Crisis Management Committee. This government, the status quo continues. And that's why we want this peace. We want the participation of us in the opposition to make sure that we check on the government. And so what is going on? It has not been, these last few documents have not been brought to the NPTC. It is just Elia Lomuro and Tutkeo. It should not be generalized to all the members of the NPTC.
So you're distancing yourself from this document. Is that what I'm getting from you?
I am saying we should distant 8 members of the NPTC and pin this on Tut Galwak and Elia Lomuro.
So let me understand this. Help me to understand this correctly. This agreement is not moving in the right direction. This is what you are telling me. It's not moving in the right direction because the cantonment of the soldiers have not been you have not done it. And the training of the unified forces is far from being achieved. Is there going to be the transitional government of national unity on the 12th of May, 2019?
Our position, SIO, in this implementation of the peace agreement is very clear. But we are getting mixed signals from the government. Up to the time we reported to the Joint Evaluation, Joint Mechanism and Evaluation Committee. Makwe said, no matter.
That is Michael Makwe,
Michael Makwe, the Minister of Information.
Yes.
He spelled in that meeting that whatever the outcome, the government was going to be formed in May. The government, the revitalized government of national unity, will be formed in May. I countered to him that we in the opposition, coming from IO, we are not going to accept any formation of the government unless the security arrangements are put in place. And because of the time factor, whereby we are not able to canton, we are not able to train, we are not able to deploy the new forces into the populated areas after demilitarization. And so we will ask IGAD to bring together the principals, meaning President Salva Kiir, Riek Machar, Gabriel Chamson of SOA, and the OPP and FDs to sit and demand from the JDB what is the time span required for making sure that all these military arrangements will be made ready, and that time span is the period that will be used for extending the formation of the government in May to that time when all the deployment of forces are made into the populated centers.
I know that you are dealing with the government that you've dealt with before in 2015. That is the administration of President Salva Kiir. What lessons did you learn in 2015 that will help you to correct things this time around?
This is just, it's not, you know, rocket science. We have to implement the agreement in letter and spirit. No jumping of queues. And that is what brought us into problems in July of 2016. The security arrangements we have flaunted, the formation of distribution of the portfolios in terms of ministries were cooked. But this time we want to make sure that we follow what the the letter and spirit of the agreement.
Following the letter and spirit of the agreement, the cessation of hostility agreement that you signed in December is being violated left and right. And you guys are, the IO is not making any noise about it. Can you say you're serious this time?
No, Tanza, we have made some progress. And currently, the guns are not silent in the vicinity of Yei Town, Yei River District. But in the rest of South Sudan, I think the guns have been silenced, and we are doing our best to make sure that, the people, arms, make sure that, they are silenced, and we go from there. It has not been an easy process, so we are trying our best.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Henry Odur, for being in the studio with us here today.
It is my pleasure, John. Thank you.
Yeah, that was Henry Odur, Deputy Chairman of the SPLM-IO, with me here in the studio. That brings us to the end of our show for this Wednesday, and we now leave you with the song Fi Sabab by Ras Corby.
Fi Sabab, the kulu hajal behasil fi dunya. Fakun mala, kumadistaji. Apum original rascorde. Fi sabab,
lazimi kun fi sabab, yeah.
Fi sabab,
lazimi kun fi sabab, oh.
Fi sabab.
Lots of me confused suburb, yeah.
Free suburb.
Lots of me confused suburb, boy.
Free suburb.
Para puna kalakutunia, yeah.
Free suburb.
Para jibizo ujumara, yeah.
Free suburb.
Bad woman be rabba, yeah. Yeah.
Free suburb.
Bad shamage wakambra vitala, lazim.
Free suburb.
Lots of me confused suburb, yeah.
Free suburb,
lots of me confused suburb.
Free suburb,
lots of me confused suburb, yeah.
Free suburb,
lots of me confused suburb. Free suburb, but you know, been that girl, free suburb. Free suburb, but not stand inside the rules, you know. Free suburb.
We have been listening to Russ Corby with the song Free Suburb. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being here. We hope you tune again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Papa, wa mama, kanita.